You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Because there's nothing like a weekend pause with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
I wish we lived in a world where young girls didn't have to deal with an abusive father. Welcome back to the podcast. We're back on a normal Monday schedule. I know that we had some, as we switched platforms, we had a couple weeks where we took off because of Christmas Day and New Year's Day. And I don't want that to be an indication that every once in a while, you're just not going to hear from me. Instead, I could promise you that we're going to be consistent about putting these out. And we also had a little technical difficulty with the Apple podcast app on the last episode. So that supposedly is fixed now through iHeart and a bunch of stuff that's way over my head. Welcome back. We've got one of my favorite guests, Marshall, who's also my pastor at Emmaus Church in Georgetown, Texas. Welcome back. I love your wisdom.
Thanks, man. It's good to be back.
It's been a minute. You're so good at answering questions that I have in my life, and just like I figured it would translate well to their questions. Mm. You just think through things very well.
All by God's grace, man.
The only thing I need you to do is move that mic
closer.
Yeah. Okay. What we do is we answer your questions if you're new here. You email podcast@grangersmith.com, ask any question, and we'll walk through it. We're not always right, but we'll give you our best answer as if we're just having a conversation at lunch with friends. First question comes from Aaron. He says this: I'm Aaron from Kansas. I'm wanting to buy a drone. I don't have any experience with drones, but I'm a big hunting and fisherman guy, and I would love to get your opinion on a budget starter drone for filming setup. Thanks for all you do, brother. Yee-yee. Okay, Aaron, that's a good way to ease into the podcast. I have used a Mavic Mini. That's the only drone I've ever had. And then I got a Mavic Mini 2 Pro. And highly recommend the Mavics. You can get in to $300 or $400, I think, was the Mavic Mini. And I think the Pro is more like $600. But, man, they last until you hit a tree. Or actually, I've hit a couple trees and they still last. Or until you throw it into a lake, like I've done a couple times. But they're really good drones, good quality. And even a guy like me could figure it out. So Mavic Mini Pro 2. That's my thought. Next question comes from Anonymous. Hey, Granger, big fan of your podcast. Loved listening to your book. I've been married for over 10 years now. I have 3 little boys, and my husband told me about a month ago that he's addicted to watching porn. See, it doesn't take long to go from drones to porn in this podcast. Since he was a teenager, that's in parentheses. I really hoped that he would take action to overcome the addiction, but I have seen no evidence of it. I'm constantly worried about what he is doing. I don't trust him. I want our boys to grow up in a Christ-centered home, but my husband doesn't put God first. That's a plot twist. He doesn't think going to church, praying, or reading the Bible is important. I'm trying to be the best example I can for him and my children. My question is, what do I do in my situation? Let me recap. My husband. Okay, I got it. Okay, so this is all about the husband. Married 10 years, three little boys. Husband is addicted to watching porn. And he told you about a month ago. I could tell you were upset about it. And you wanted him to take action to overcome this. And now a month has gone by and you're like, hey, I don't see anything. I don't see any change. And now you're worried that this could get worse. And that's a good worry. It's a legitimate concern. But now you're saying something at the end of this that makes it worse for everyone. And that you say, I don't trust him. So this is more than just he admitted he's watching porn and he's addicted to it. And this is more than you don't see immediate steps in it getting better. This is now you don't trust him, which is a much bigger issue than all of this. And then you go on to say that you want him to be a good dad in Christ-centered home. I get it. So you got a good guest here today, Anonymous, to have Marshall here. Let's start with her. Let's not even talk about, because this the message really not is, it's not about him anyway. There's not a message to him from us.
Yeah.
This is a message to her.
Yeah.
So we see porn questions a lot on this podcast, but a lot of times it's from the man. Mm. This is just from the woman. So how does she handle this with what the information that we know now? What does she do? What does she not do in this situation?
Yeah. I mean, my first answer is pray for your husband. Pray for him regularly. Just that the Lord would work in his heart, that he would kill this desire in your husband's heart to view these things and be so, cling so tightly to them, because he's going to need the Lord to change his heart. He can't change he's not going to be able to change himself on it. And even if he does, it's not about behavior modification, because you're just going to find a different thing. So if you're trying to get him to trust the Lord more, if you're praying for that, because you said you want him to be a godly husband, godly father, that's what you should be praying for him. And I don't doubt that you're already doing that. So in some sense, I'm encouraging you in that. Continue to pray for your husband. And then be thankful for the graces that have already shown up in that. He's told you about this. He's not trying to hide it. That doesn't make what he's doing right, and doesn't make it okay, and it doesn't give him an excuse to keep doing it. But so many situations, the husband's hiding it constantly. Yeah. And this question could have easily been, I caught him.
Yeah.
Or I know, and he doesn't know that I know. And that makes it even more difficult. But the fact that he was open with you and is wanting to talk through it, I think is a big step. And so I think you just continue having that conversation with him. You continue checking in on him. Hey, are you viewing this? Or why is it so difficult for you? And then I'm assuming you're in church because of wanting them to be a godly husband and a godly father, but you're not seeing some of those evidences of the fruit of the Spirit or being worked out in his life by a desire to read God's word, a desire to be praying, a desire to fight this sin issue in his life. And so I'm assuming you're in church with that. And so with that, I would take this to your pastors. I would ask your pastors to sit down with you guys and just give you some counsel on how to care for one another in the situation and how to fight this sin well. Because until your husband wants to do that, it's going to be, again, you can't change him. The Lord's going to be the only one who can change him. And so continue to pray for that. Continue to pray for his heart. Pray that the Lord would change his heart in that. And bring involve your pastors in on this. You shouldn't have to bear this weight on your shoulders by yourself. This should be something your church family should come around you and help you in that. Specifically your pastors first, and then maybe a couple ladies in the church who you're close to. That would be some of my initial counsel. There's a lot deeper. Yeah. I'd go into that if this was one of our members coming to us and saying this. But that's where I go right now, especially if he's hesitant to do some of these things like praying and in the word. And
yeah, man, I think that's great. And on top of that, with everything Marshall said, there could be a tendency for you to get angry and possessive and offended. And you could go to your pastor, like Marshall's saying, and you could go to your husband and go, "Hey, you're meeting with our pastor. I told him about this, and he wants to have lunch with you. So you need to set this lunch up because it's been a month, and you still haven't. I just haven't seen anything changing. And guess what? I don't trust you." That's probably the worst thing you could do in the situation. So, following the same guideline that Marshall's saying, just do it with grace. Hmm. You can come to him, and first of all, Anonymous, just know this: that in your immediate circle, your husband's not the only one.
Yeah.
This is widespread. And just on this podcast alone, hundreds of emails, probably just about porn, that I don't even get a chance to get to, because then every single episode would just be about porn. So this is widespread. Like Marshall said, let's be encouraged that he actually told you about it, because that takes a lot of courage for him to do this.
Yeah.
Let's think just for a second how humiliated he felt, but overcome by this guilt that he needed to tell you. I don't know how this happened. Maybe he just sat you down. I mean, that's not a casual conversation. "Hey, I need to tell you, I watch porn and I'm addicted to it." So if you could find grace in that, if you could say, "I just want to let you know, it must have taken a lot of courage for you to tell me something about a sin that is so vulnerable, that is something that is so potentially deadly for our relationship, and you brought it to me. I am so encouraged by this." So instead of looking at the month that's gone by, you see no action, take a second to make sure that you're approaching him in that way. And when you do bring it up, and you should, you shouldn't just let it lie, but when you do bring it up, say, "Hey, I want to talk about, the thing, the conversation. Is there anything I could be doing as a wife, because I love you and I care about this relationship and I care about our three boys? Is there anything, any way that I could help encourage you? Maybe, I know this sounds awkward, but is there a way that I could keep you accountable? Because I know of this website that I heard on Granger's podcast called covenanteyes.com. And you can go to covenanteyes.com and enter your IP address on your phone and computer, and then send that to me, and it notifies me. And so that makes you think twice about going to that website, because you know it's going to send me a message. Is that something I could help you with?" But if you could be an encourager instead of a nagger, because I think, and honestly, I wouldn't blame you if you nagged him, I wouldn't blame you if you were upset with this. I don't even blame you that you don't trust him, but I just want to encourage you to fight against that urge to say, "Oh, please don't ever tell him I don't trust you because of this," because that's going to make him become more of a recluse, hide it more. He's going to hide his struggle more because, "Oh, I don't want to tell her." She's just going to get more angry than she already is. And then the last thing he's going to want to do is meet with the pastor that you set up. All that just depends on how you present this to him.
Yeah, I would treat it like you would treat any other sin issue that maybe one of your friends would come to you with, right? You want to walk alongside them in it. You don't want to just say, "Hey, let me know how you're doing a month from now." Hmm. And so if you replaced his addiction to porn to an addiction with alcohol, you want to help that person walk through it. What can I do to help you walk? Let's get all the alcohol out of the house. Let's make sure we're not putting ourselves in situations where there's going to be alcohol present. I'll check in on you every day, you know? And so if you think of it as, okay, this is, if you take out the porn issue and just think it's a sin issue, and I want to walk alongside him in helping him fight this sin issue, because you know, we're one. We're one in Christ. If we're both believers, we're married, and so the Lord has put us together. And so I want to walk him through this and walk with him through it, not try to drag him out of it, but I want to try to take each step with him. And because you would do that with any sin issue. I mean, if Granger came to me and said, "Hey, I'm struggling with this sin issue," I want to walk him through it, walk with him through it,
yeah.
not not give him one or two steps and say, I'll check in on you in a month. Let me know how you're doing. Yeah. But just how can I care for you as we walk through this together? Because you're not alone in this. I'm not sitting over here waiting for you to get better, and then we'll deal with things together. But I want to be there with you in it. So
that's good. And Anonymous, you also are not alone.
Yeah,
you're dealing with this with him, and it might seem like the walls are closing in on you, but there's a lot of families right down your street probably that this is going on, and the wife doesn't know about it. So which position would you rather be in? Yours or the wife down the street that doesn't know about it? Something to think about.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Because there's nothing like a weekend pause with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Podcast is brought to y'all by BetterHelp. Have you heard that phrase, new year, new you? Well, we might want to be thinking the opposite of that, because as we get around this New Year's and we get obsessed with how to change ourselves and make ourselves better, instead we might want to focus on expanding what we're already doing right. Maybe you finally organized one part of your space and you just want to go tackle another part. Or maybe you're taking your supplements every morning, you're trying to eat healthy, and now you want to establish some kind of exercise routine. Well, what I'm trying to say is therapy helps you find your strengths so you could ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that actually stick. Now, Amber and I have gone through therapy after we lost Riv. It was like a critical time for us to be able to go in and talk to a professional about what we've been going through. Maybe this is you. Maybe you're thinking, now I'm ready to talk to someone too. I'm ready to talk to a professional about this, but I don't really want to go lay on the green couch. I don't want to do that thing. Well, maybe you can give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and then you could switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/Granger today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Granger. Hey, if you want to get a hold of me, you want to reach out to me, then how about Cameo? You ever thought about Cameo? Cameo.com, that's Cameo.com. Search for me, Granger Smith. You could also download the Cameo app on your phone and then search for me, Granger Smith. I could make you a personalized video message. It's super, super easy to use. I do this all the time. I do this daily. I check my Cameo account. There's some requests waiting for me, and I'll say, hey, what's up, Steve? Happy birthday. Your wife, Kim, sent me to you. Thank you so much for being a fan, and we'll talk for a little bit according to what Kim wants me to say. She keeps that in the notes. It's an easy gift, it's an easy bit of encouragement for someone that maybe has everything, or you need to get them something, you can't think of what it is, consider going to cameo.com and searching for me, Granger Smith. And then lastly, this Friday, January the 19th, is the new Yee Yee Apparel Winter Launch. We've been working hard on this. I'm excited for you all to see what we have in store. Go to yeeyee.com. Our next question says, it's once again from Anonymous, and it says, "Hey Granger, 11 years ago, I finally had enough with the toxic relationships I was pursuing. I pulled out my journal and wrote a letter to God that I am ready to do what it takes and become who it takes to find my life partner. The following year was a wild ride. I was given multiple opportunities to say no to old familiar relationships. After going through multiple tests, I met my life partner. And we recently celebrated our 10-year anniversary. Our love is so kind, so generous, so safe, so nurturing, so respectful. It is everything I never got to see growing up. The kicker is, we're both women. Recently, I have begun deepening my relationship with God, reading the Bible every day, praying every day, and even going to church. Writing this is truly astonishing, as I never, ever thought I would be going to church or reading a Bible due to extreme family trauma surrounding religion. But I have been feeling called to Jesus. The one mega friction point that has me in tears of confusion is, why would God send me my life partner and then simultaneously say our love is a sin? I do agree that many queer people are immoral in their sexuality, as are many hetero people. That is simply not who we are. It's tough, because I want to be part of the Christian community, but am outwardly told how wrong I am. I would love to hear your opinion." All right, Anonymous, thank you for trusting me with this. It's not often I get these questions. Well, let me rephrase. It's not often that I answer them. And I'm encouraged that you listen and trust me enough to hear my opinion. When it comes to something in the Bible, it's interesting to think of it in terms of, I don't have an opinion when it comes to the Bible. And that's a good thing, because my opinion, as I look back on my life, my opinion on things like politics and social issues and paradigms in our culture, it's changed as the world around me has changed, and my reaction to it has changed. My opinion on music and songs and movies has changed over the years. And so when I say, thank goodness I don't have an opinion when it comes to Bible things, that's not a negative thing. That's not saying, thank goodness I'm a robot and I just follow this mindless thing. It's going, thank goodness there is the truth that I could stand on. And everything else just waves around, like all my little opinions. So when you say, I would love to hear your opinion, I will give you some of my opinion, but then I'll also stand on what we know is the truth. And I believe, Anonymous, that you know that as well. And I believe that's why you worded it the way you did. And I believe that's why you're struggling with this. I'm definitely going to let Marshall get in on this. And I want to kind of take some stabs around with this too. What I see, this is multi-layered. And I see the multi-layers, especially when it comes to this family trauma surrounding religion that's what you're standing on, right? So that all these mixed ideas. And so you have to admit, it's really interesting that you have this trauma, you call it, surrounding religion, and you never thought you would go to a church or read a holy book, especially the Bible. But despite all of that, you want to. How strange is that? And how much of a testimony is that to the truth of the Bible, that it's drawing you despite every fleshly thing in your mind. It's you're being called against all of these things, including the love of your life. You're being called against it to read something that speaks contrary to it. That doesn't make any sense. And if I'm an alien looking at this planet, if I'm an atheist listening to the podcast right now, I go, that's a mental health issue, because that doesn't make any sense. In fact, if I'm an atheist, and I've told atheists this, if I'm an atheist looking at religion as a whole, all the major religions in the world, I'm going, it has to be mental health problems, because they're delusional. Because the fact that babies are born all over the planet every year and grow up to worship the sky and raise their hands and say prayers, that is so strange that we can't breed that out of this accidental race that we are as humans, yeah. Right? That's one side of it. That's one side of the coin here. The other interesting thing is your struggle. You have to hear me on something. Your struggle with sin is not different than mine. It's a fundamental understanding of what sin is that is usually the problem. And I'm going to say this with trying my best not to offend you on a personal level, because I truly love you and I truly care for you. Otherwise, I wouldn't care about this question. But here's the fundamental problem, and I'm going to tell you why I believe you're wrong in what you're thinking on a personal level. Because you think sin is something God sees on you as something either you've done to yourself or you've done to society or society has done to you, and God's responsibility is to clean it up for you. But that's actually not what sin is. Your sin is actually a violation to God himself. So if we see it that way, Isaiah 59 says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. That is a huge revelation for us in a world where we think sin is a mistake that we have done against society or ourselves. If we miss the point that our sins, or in that case, in that translation, iniquities, has caused a gap between us and our Creator, so much so that his wrath is upon us. That is a much different, you've got to admit, Anonymous, that's a much different idea than why would God say this is a sin when I'm obviously in love and he wants me to be happy? You see, the difference is when you realize a sin is a sin against God, against the Creator, that puts a whole new spin on things. And it is true, there is, in a sense, it is true that sin hurts us personally, and not sinning and following God's law makes us feel better and do better. There's a sense that that's absolutely true. But we can't just say that. We have to also say it's causing a separation between us and God. And the reason also we have to say that is because if we only rely on, if we don't sin, we feel better, that doesn't always work, because sometimes sin makes you feel really good. Sometimes sinning more makes you feel really good and not sinning makes you feel really bad. And so that doesn't always line up that way. So we have to see it for what it is. Marshall, I'll shut up. What you got?
I mean, first of all, I'm encouraged to hear what the Lord's doing in your life. Sounds like he's slowly drawing you to himself. That's just,
yes.
That whole first part of that email was so encouraging.
Yes.
Just to hear the things going on and the thing with the past trauma with religion in your family history, I'm glad to hear that that's not preventing you from listening to this kind of drawing from the Lord to get into his word, because you don't want past sins from others to kind of define who you are and what you're doing, right? Like, you're in your own story that the Lord has written for you. And so this trauma shouldn't define what you do when it comes to wanting to know who God is. And so there isn't this sense of separate it from religion, right? So the goal is not to be religious. The goal is to have this relationship with God. And so what's hindering you from this relationship with God? And that's the question for anybody. It's a question for me. It's a question for Granger. It's a question for anybody asking or thinking, you know, what's preventing me to be right with God. And so the couple things that stood out in that email to me was when you started saying, I think the question was worded something like, why would God send me the, my life partner, the love of my life? I can't remember how it was worded. But then also be saying this thing in his word that seems contrary to that. It doesn't make sense.
Simultaneously say our love is a sin.
Yeah. So I think when we think of things like that, we need to take the step back and think, okay, here are two things that I'm saying are true, but they don't appear that they can be true. So are one of these wrong? Well, we can point to verses that says, you know, what you're feeling is, or what y'all have is wrong in the relationship. Even though what you might be feeling might be a true feeling, you can love somebody. But the thing is we were created to be beings that love. That's how we were designed. The problem is that as sinners, that love gets distorted and we tend to love the wrong things. I'm not in the same situation you are, but there are things that I love that are wrong.
Yeah.
That I need to constantly check my own heart and say, am I loving the right things? Because if I'm not loving the right things, I can't claim that that's a gift from the Lord. James writes, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And so if it's not a good and perfect gift, then it didn't come from the Lord. So if the Lord is saying in his word, hey, this is a sin, this is wrong, we can't also say, well, then he must have sent it to me as well. So if you're reading in his word that the relationship you're in is contrary to the teachings of Jesus, is contrary to what God has designed, the other truth can't be true. What you think to be true can't be true. It can't be that God sent you your life partner to be your life partner. Like you, that doesn't mean you can't love them. I love Granger as a brother in Christ. I don't love him like my wife, but I love Granger as a brother. And so there's this reorienting of our loves when we are confronted with the truth of Scripture is, if I truly love Jesus, am I going to obey what he says? Am I going to submit to what he says? I mean, if anything, when we see the Christian life in Scripture, it's not easy. It's hard. You're constantly having to lay down these things that you love. What you're going through is something every person has gone through who's ever become a Christian.
Yeah.
They're just laying down different things. For you, it might have to be this relationship. It might have to be these desires that you have for other women, if that's the ongoing thing moving forward. But these are just things we have to lay down. For someone else, it might be porn. It might be alcohol. It might be exalting self. I mean, Granger's own story, right? Exalting self on stage constantly. Yeah. And lays down country music. Didn't have to do that, but he lays down this understanding that my love for myself is getting in the way of my love for Jesus. And so I need to lay these things down. And so that's what Jesus is telling people when he says, you need to be willing to leave your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters. You gotta be willing to leave your whole family if that's what it's going to take, if they're leading you away from me. And so there's this constant, are the things that I love, whether they're things or other people, are they in line with what Jesus says? Or am I loving the wrong things? And if I'm loving the wrong things, then I can't claim that those are gifts from the Lord. Those are things that are in my way that are impeding me from actually obeying Jesus, who I claim to love now, or who I'm trying to love now, or I'm trying to follow now. And so, again, for you, it's this relationship. It's this other woman in your life. But again, for other people, it's so many other things. And it's just a constant question. Am I loving the right things? Am I loving rightly also? So
I think it's probably worth hanging on this question a little bit longer instead of just moving away. Because it's also important, after everything we both said, it's also important to know that everything we're saying would come after belief in Jesus and his lordship over your life. because otherwise we're just talking about moralism.
Yeah.
Don't do something because it's wrong. And the last email was about porn. Don't do this. It could be the same conversation about alcoholism. It's like, don't do it. None of that matters. Then it's just every other religion in the world giving you some kind of legalistic moralism. So it must follow logically. It's ironic because Marshall is preaching 1 Corinthians 15 this weekend, which is the gospel. And it's interesting because the desire to do everything Marshall said, to the desire to follow Jesus, would come after the initial belief in him and the understanding of what he did. So it's believing in him, who he is, and then knowing what he did. And what he did was the whole bit I gave you about sin and our misunderstanding of what sin is. And it's actually a violation to God himself. It's separating us from God. Jesus comes because no one can reconcile that gap. So he comes to say, I'll do it. I'll reconcile the gap between the sinner and God. God's wrath is in between. I will take on God's wrath myself to close that gap, to bring us to God. That's what he comes to do, to bring us to God. But it's not everybody that he brings, those that believe. And so you believe in who he is. You believe in what he did, which is he died to kill sin, to defeat death. You believe in him and what he did. And then because of that, you want to start, a desire will be cultivated within your new heart to start living like he did, to live closer to what he did, to start obeying, not perfectly, but you'll start hating the things that he hates. You'll start disliking the things within you that make you sin, or the sin itself. That's the difference. It's, you'll stop loving it and you'll start saying, this just feels wrong. I can't live with it anymore. After I love Jesus, after I've believed in Jesus, I just can't get over this stuff anymore. I can't sleep at night. I got to do something about it. That's what it's like to be a Christian.
Yeah,
that is the Christian life. But here's the thing, and you also need to, after all that, you also need to know that Jesus says if you come to him, then you will. After you've given up stuff and you denied yourself, you will have peace and joy and rest after you've given it up. So it's going to hurt bad to give this stuff up. It stings to give up sin that we love. But when you do, you're promised that you'll find, even though your life might be chaotic, within the chaos, you'll be able to rest in the chaos. I am very encouraged by this email, and I would love a follow-up.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love like a 6-month follow-up. What's going on? Ant-Man is producing this podcast. He sorts these emails, and I would love for him to be able to grab one from you again to kind of pin this and just come back. And if you're in the exact same situation you are today, okay, we'll talk about it again. But I got a feeling you're not going to be.
Yeah.
I got a feeling something's working in here. And I also hope you realize too that this is, once again, it doesn't have to be my opinion. I don't want to go against what Jesus says.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to do is, to that point, I want to just ask you, Marshall, what about the person that goes, Jesus never said a word about homosexuality? How do you answer that?
He did. And if we think of scripture being all the word of God, then there's multiple places where it talks about it.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, the clearest is Romans 1. That's the easy go-to.
But that was Paul. That was Paul. That's the argument.
That was Paul.
I agree with you. I'm just making
that. No, I know. But I mean, so I don't want to give the go-to answer for it, but if that's the person's argument, I would want to know, have you read all 4 gospels and read every word Jesus said?
The answer is always no.
Right. Then I would want to talk to the person. If you've read all 4 gospels and you can even highlight all the speeches Jesus gave, if you've done that, then let's sit down and talk. I would say go read the four Gospels. I don't want to just give you a verse and tell you that. I want you to see it for yourself.
That's the best answer I've heard of that question. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, next question comes from Jessica. It's nice to have a non-anonymous person. Thanks, Jessica, for giving us your name. It says, "Hi, Mr. Smith. My name is Jessica. I'm 18 years old. I'm at a breaking point with my father. He verbally abuses me and flies off the hinge at the littlest things. He calls me the B word and says I'm an effing lazy daughter and other horrible things. He goes to church but doesn't follow Jesus. I've been praying that he comes to know the Lord, and I don't know what else to do. You can't talk to him or my mom about it because they will say that I'm being disrespectful and that I'm in the wrong. I'm at the point that I don't want a relationship with him, but I don't know if that's the wrong mindset to have. We have tried counseling through our church, but he always makes sure that he has the right answers so that it's not conducive to anything. So it was not conducive to anything. On top of the fact that my mom told me he does not say anything so that it doesn't make him look bad. I get it. I've become angry towards my dad, but I don't know what God calls me to do. How do you handle this?" All right, recap from own brain here. Jessica, 18, verbally abused and by an angry father. They go to church. He's not a follower. She recognizes that. And she wants to know, she says, "I've become angry towards my dad, but I don't, but I know that that's not what God calls me to do." So you want to know how to handle it without getting angry. It's a tough situation for an 18-year-old, and I'm really sorry, Jessica, that you're in this. Yeah. I wish we lived in a world where young girls didn't have to deal with an abusive father. But that's just not the case. We do. I also wish that we lived in a world where we didn't have people that went to church and then did this, but we do. Kind of goes to the old, "I don't go to church because there are hypocrites in there."
Yeah.
And we say, yes, but at least we admit it, they were hypocrites. Yeah. Jessica, you are right around an age where this conversation kind of changes. Because if you're 12, 13, 14, the conversation is probably different than when you're 18, 19, 20. As far as you're probably, if you haven't moved out already, you're probably getting close to not living with dad. And that's going to change the dynamic regardless. You're not under his roof anymore. And it kind of changes the whole, where did mom say this disrespectful? Yeah. "You can't talk to him or mom about it because they say that I'm being disrespectful and I'm in the wrong." A little bit has to do with you living there, I think. I think that changes when you have your own job and you have your own apartment and you're not up in his business and he's not in yours all the time. I'm assuming you live there. So that's something you're going to have to deal with anyway. I personally feel like 18 in any culture is the right age, around the right age to get out. You think that?
I think it's a safe age to get out.
Yeah. It's a safe age to get out. Yeah. You can't really be young. I mean, younger than that is tough. And older than that starts to create problems under the roof of the parents.
Yeah.
So it's good. Marshall said safe age to get out. So that might be part of this conversation. It might be just time to get out. You guys are ignoring it. You're annoying your dad and he's annoying you. And that's manifesting in anger. Did she say, is there an example of what he's doing, what she's doing? Or is it just little things? Didn't really say.
Yeah. What she's doing or what he's doing? Would you ask?
What she's doing to make him mad.
Got it. Yeah.
Is there there's not an example.
I didn't hear one though.
But that's definitely what we would ask. Like, what's an example? If we were with you having lunch or something, we'd say, "Well, like, what are we talking about? Politics or the temperature on the thermometer in the house?" You know. You said, I've become angry towards my dad, but I know that's not what God calls me to do. That's the question, so we'll just deal with that. There's a lot of unknowns. We'll deal with that. You cannot control what he says to you. You cannot control that he flies off the hinge. You cannot control that you go to church and he doesn't follow Christ. You cannot control that your mom defends him. You can control how you respond to him. Hmm. And I'm so sorry that that is a tough situation for an 18-year-old girl to be in. But this is the hill you take. This is the battle you fight. Dad, I love you. I forgive you because you're dad. It doesn't make me agree with you on this issue. It doesn't make me trust that you're going to be kind to me. But I love you. Therefore, I also just forgive you. And is there anything, Dad, that I'm doing that is maybe making you uncomfortable, making life more difficult for you? Is there anything I could do? Is there, if I'm living here, is there any other chore I could do around the house? I want to earn my keep. It won't be long before I go to college or whatever are your plans. But Dad, how could I serve you more? Things there, Jessica, there's definitely things going on outside of your relationship with him, for sure. Whether it's work, whether it's his marriage, there's a lot going on that's more than just you're annoying him. And so he's flying off the handle. So we forgive because we know, like you said in this last sentence, we know that's what God calls you to do, to love and forgive him. But even though your heart doesn't agree with it, this is what you say and this is what you do, and you let your heart catch up to it after that. What do you got for this?
Yeah. I mean, first, Jessica, I love that you say you're praying for your dad. I feel like that's been on repeat today, but it's, you can't underestimate the power of prayer. And so I would encourage you to keep doing that. And the other thing, hate that we even have to say this, but if it ever escalates past just verbal abuse, reach out to the police, get out of there, get yourself safe. Physical abuse is never okay. And so get yourself out of there if it ever escalates to anything close to that. Pray to God that never happens. But as far as dealing with what you're going through right now, I agree with everything Granger has said. I hate this for you that you have to go through this. And so as you're thinking about how to navigate your time left in the house with your parents, specifically your dad, I think just remembering not to return evil for evil. So you honor your dad in the best way you can, even in the midst of his sin towards you. Again, that doesn't mean put yourself in a dangerous spot, but you honor your father as much as you can in the situation you've been placed. I think it's similar to like Romans 13 or Titus, I can't remember if it's 2 or 3 off the top of my head. Those two passages are talking about our relationship to the government. And so, and scripture's calling us to submit to those who are in authority over us. And specifically when Titus writes that, the main guy in charge is literally burning people alive. And so, but he's still saying, submit to the governing authorities over you. And so there's this sense of that's not only a call when things are going well, that's a call even when those who are in charge are sinning against you. You still honor those that the Lord's put over you to the best of your ability and trust the Lord in it. And I think that means through prayer as well. And so again, I agree with Granger, you're 18, you'll probably be out of the house soon. And until then, you just seek the best ways you can to honor your dad, while still remaining safe. And then you continue to pray for him. And then when you're out of the house, things are different. Counsel's different at that point. Mm-hmm. If you're not already thinking about those next steps for getting out of the house, 18, 19, 20, I would start thinking through those. I don't know if that's going off to school for you or finding your own place after you get a job, whatever it might be, but start thinking through those steps as well. At 18, you don't need to stay there. You have that freedom now. And that's why I said 18 is a safe age to do that. I think at 18, it's a safe age because you have the abilities in different areas to take care of yourself. Now in an ideal world, if you're in a loving family and your dad is caring for you super well. Like I would encourage you to stay there and be shepherded by your dad. But in this situation, because of what you're having to experience, I think 18 is a safe age to start figuring out how to get out, to continue to grow in the Lord yourself. Don't let it discourage you. And I think the last thing I would tell you, at least in this moment, would be, because you're praying for your dad, because you're trying to discern, you think you can discern he's probably not following the Lord himself. I'm going to assume you're a professing Christian. And so if that's true, what I just want to encourage you with is, despite however your earthly father treats you, you have a heavenly father who will never treat you that way and who loves you immensely and has given his son for you and wants the best for you and will not leave you or forsake you and is with you at all times and will strengthen you and just hold you and walks with you. And so every time your dad's yelling at you, you know you have a heavenly father who's comforting you in the moment and who's with you and has not left you in that situation alone. And so I just want to encourage you with, yes, our earthly friends and family members will hurt us deeply sometimes. We have a heavenly father who will never do that. And I just want you to be encouraged by that today and not be so discouraged and beaten down by what your dad tells you. But remember, you have a heavenly father who loves you deeper than you could ever imagine. And in a much better way than your dad ever possibly could, your earthly dad. So I just wanted to leave you with that encouragement. So it's not just on a, hey, tough it out, you know.
And that's why you're a pastor, Marshall. So. Yeah, that's fantastic. And that's so good to wrap up that question. Jessica, if we're just having lunch right now and you're like, we're getting the check and we're saying, hey, thanks so much. I hope this gets worked out. And you say, well, guys, like, how do we, like, what do I practically do today? And I think just to wrap up this conversation, I say, I would go home. First of all, you're praying. You're on your knees about dad. And then you go home and you go, mom and dad, I just want to let y'all know, I think I'm going to start looking for a place. Whether that, it's going to depend on finances, but that could mean you're going to rent a couch from a friend. And if you don't have a job already, hopefully you do. You're going to be thinking about that and thinking about making that leap into independence and break that to them. Tell them that. And the reason I say it is because as I'm looking at your email, and the first thing you said was, I'm at a breaking point with my father. We don't want to find out where that is or what that is. You're admitting that there is a breaking point and you're close to it. Why test this? Why try to get there? So let's pray for him. Let's forgive him. Let's love him. Let's serve him, and let's try to get out of the house before it gets to a place where you're forced out. Let's choose to get out. We're on good terms before you have to. Yeah.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Because there's nothing like a weekend pause with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm gonna go to one more question before we go over time here. So this is my last one. It's from Max. I want to do a little side note here. I don't know what I'm getting into with all these questions. I literally scroll and here it is. So it's not like I'm planning. Max is the climax of this podcast. That was kind of cool. Hey Granger, my name is Max. I'm 30 years old, currently living in Calgary, Canada. Your weekly podcast episodes make my Mondays much better. Thank you for this blessing. Appreciate you, Max. How do I make sure I'm not over-spiritualizing each and every aspect of my life? I'm very aware of God at work on a daily basis, but lately, I feel as though I'm trying to explain or justify every last detail of my life and the entire world around me from a biblical perspective or principle. I question if this is a healthy approach. As someone who came to faith in the last 5 years, I am struggling to keep things in the proper context and discern what is spiritually driven and what is not. May peace be with you. So great question, Max. And I don't think it's necessary to take a lot of time on this at the end. But over-spiritualizing is the thing.
Yeah.
Like that's something we see. I see with Americans a lot. It's like over-spiritualizing every little thing and like every decision. It's like, should we eat at Chili's or Olive Garden? Oh, Lord, which one should it be? Let's look up the politics on these two organizations and see if anyone is in sin in the corporate levels. And maybe it's got to be Olive Garden. Like people do that. I see them do it. And you're right. I agree. I don't think it's a healthy approach. So instead, Marshall will run circles around this, but if we're learning who God is, as He's revealed Himself in His Word, and Max, if you have a daily time outside of church, outside of your men's group or your small group or your Bible study or a random podcast episode or a sermon you hear on YouTube, outside of all that, you have set aside a time with you and God in His Word as He's revealed Himself. That's how we learn who He is continually. It's like when I was a kid, my grandparents had these puzzles, and you start filling in the puzzles. And the more we're in His Word, the more that big puzzle starts to come together and we see the image of Him in it. And the more you see Him and know Him, then the more you trust Him and believe His promises are good, and the more you can rest in His providential will, which means the span of history that He has accomplished and the future that He's already planned. The more you can trust in that and go, God, I am trusting, I'm abiding, or I am living in Your Word, I am believing You. I'm trusting my life to You. I'm denying myself. When you're doing those things and you have a good church life and your prayer life is never great, but you're working on it and you desire to do it, then at that point, you can start trusting your desires. We're taught so much in the Christian culture, don't trust your heart. It's evil.
Yeah.
And that's true. It's biblical. But to an extent, as we learn who God is, as we have submitted to Him, to His Lordship, there is an extent we could start trusting our own desires, that He has planned them, that He has planted them in us. And then you can go, I'm really craving Italian. I don't want to go to Chili's. I want to go to Olive Garden. And you don't have to over-spiritualize it at that point.
No. No. The two ways I've heard, so over-spiritualized can mean many different things, right? Depending on who's talking about it. The two most common ones I hear, the first one would be, over-spiritualizing would be using faith in the wrong way. If I have enough faith, I can get this thing. I can manifest it, whatever it is. If that's what's being talked about, that's just contrary to the Bible. Yeah. Don't believe that. That's false. That's not how faith works. That's not what faith is. So if that's, I don't think that's what's being talked about, but I wanted to clarify that, because that is how it can be used sometimes. But the other way I hear it is kind of what you're talking about, of just, how do I know if I'm making the right decision? Am I walking the right path?
Should I buy Nikes?
Should I, what college should I go to? I'm looking for a sign in the sky. I'm looking, I was driving down the highway and the billboard read something. And so that was my sign that I was supposed to do something. Yeah. Right. And so can the Lord do that stuff? Sure. But the point is, you're right when you say God is always at work, because he's in control of everything. That's his providence. He cares about his creation, and he's constantly working over it. That's an absolute truth. But that truth is not meant to cause you anxiety. It's supposed to cause you comfort. Mm. And so if we're constantly over-spiritualizing everything, you're taking this truth that God's in control and he's constantly at work, and you're using that truth to bring you anxiety, wondering, am I following the right way? Mm-hmm. Well, if God's really at work, that's not the question that should be asked. Yeah, am I trusting what he's doing? And so, this could turn into a super long answer, but one helpful thing that I can recommend to you is a really small book that was really helpful to me in thinking through this. And it's called, speaking of Nike, Just Do Something, not Just Do It, but Just Do Something by Kevin DeYoung. Super, super helpful book in thinking through this, of how to not over-spiritualize stuff when trying to figure out what's God's will for my life. That's usually where a lot of people over-spiritualize stuff, is what's God's will for my life? How do I know if I'm doing what God wants me to do? That book is so helpful. So I would just encourage anybody to buy it. It's super short, small.
Just takes a day or two. Yeah. It's like 100 pages.
Yeah, it's like maybe 10 or 12 bucks on Amazon. So super, super helpful book.
It's not deeply theological. No. It's commonly written and easy to read. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Dude, thank you so much for being on here, man.
Yeah, it was great.
We got to get you again. Yeah. I would be really encouraged to have someone show up at Emmaus in Georgetown, Texas, and say, I heard you guys on the podcast.
That'd be cool.
That's how I heard about this church.
Yeah.
Marshall and I really do not, if you know me enough, I don't go around promoting my church so that people will come and fill up the chairs. I don't. Which is why I'm actually having this conversation at the end of this podcast. Because if you made it all the way to the end, that says something about you. You're interested enough to hang all the way to the end. And I'd be encouraged if someone heard this end of this podcast and this particular message from me saying, I'm going to be there every Sunday. Marshall is going to be there every Sunday. Marshall is going to be preaching there almost 3/4 of the Sunday. Something like that.
Something like that. So,
yeah. But he's going to be there all of the other times too.
Yeah, yeah.
So come up to us. We're not a church where it's so big you're never going to find us. You'll literally walk in and there we're going to be right there, and say, "Hey, I heard you talking about this on the podcast, and I was encouraged, and that would mean a lot to me."
Yeah.
Yeah. Love you guys. See you next Monday. Thanks for joining me on the Granger Smith podcast. I appreciate all of you guys. You could help me out by rating this podcast on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, hit that little like button and notifications bell so that you never miss any time I upload a video. Yee yee.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.